Welcome to the City of Ocean City Regular Zoning Board Meeting, March 18, 2026. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to PL Chapter 231, also known as the Open Public Meetings Act. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have any electronic devices, please turn them off or silence them now. Roll call. Mr. Becker, Mr. Buck, Mr. DeMarco,
yes.
Mr. Gallagher,
yes.
Mr. Geary,
yes.
Mr. Logue,
here.
Mr. Price,
here.
Mrs. Snyder,
here.
Mr. Waddell.
Here.
Under Secretary's reports, may I have a motion to adopt the January 21, 26 minutes?
Waddell.
Second?
DeMarco.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm actually going to turn the meeting over to the solicitor to swear in, Brian Price.
All right, Mr. Price, I'm just going to say I state your name. We have you stand and raise your right hand. That's typically what we tell them. Say I state your name and you'll just repeat after me. So, I, Ryan Price.
I, Ryan Price.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
The Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all duties of the Office of Zoning Board.
Perform all duties of the Office of Zoning Board.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to change up the agenda. We're going to do number two, ZBA 25-017 Caruso, 3214 Haven Avenue, Block 3205, Lot 14, R240 Zone.
All right, Mr. Caruso, just give us your name and address for the record.
3214 Haven Avenue.
Okay, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
No, I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. Recognize yourself, okay. And the solicitor?
No.
Okay. Would you like to tell us what you're doing?
Sure. So my name is Mike Caruso. My wife, Kathy Caruso, is also here, and I have Ed Howe, our architect, also here as a witness who has helped me navigate through this process. For some background, so we've lived in our house since 2007. Enjoyed being here in Ocean City, and we'll most likely retire here. We love that our deck faces the east and the morning sun, but we really can't get to use it. As we would like because of the intense brightness and the heat, especially in the morning and the mid-afternoon. My wife and I have both skin procedures done, and you know, we've been advised that we probably should limit our time in the sun. A roof over our deck would allow us to use our deck more often, allow us to be more sociable with our neighbors who are also outside on the deck in the morning, and make our house look more appealing and similar to other houses on the street, since it's an old house. We've had awnings in the past. As you know, they are very expensive. They fade, they tear, and water goes through them, and they soon start looking shabby, and they kind of make the house look shabby also. Additionally, just some additional information. My first floor neighbor and I, we have discussed in the past replacing the outdated old iron railings and support columns that we have on both floors. But we kind of thought, let's just go all in and see whether or not we can get new columns, make it modern, and replace, you know, and for us to really get a roof over our deck, rather than, you know, replacing the railing as it is. I guess not until we really started entertaining this project, we realized that in order to put a roof to the existing railing, we're my story. If you need Ed to answer any questions, regarding this project, I have him as my witness here. If you have any questions.
Mr. Howell, you'd like to be sworn in?
Mr. Howell, just give us your name and business address, please. I'll be sworn in.
My name is Edwin Howell, 9 Otter Lane, Egg Harbor Township.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you swear from the testimony you'll give this evening to be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You're an architect and
planner? I'm an architect and a licensed planner in the state of New Jersey. As you gave me probably a little background of actually what we're asking for. We're asking for variances for front yard and side yard variances. And we need to, as you know, offer some proofs for your consideration for you so you can see whether this project is a reasonable one. We need to also show that we don't have any substantial detriment to the public good, any substantial detriment to the intent and purpose of the zoning ordinance or the zoning plan. Now, you're asking for a variance because our building does not any longer meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance because the zoning ordinance has changed. The building was built approximately 45 years ago. About 30 years ago, the ordinance was changed that reflects how this building would be reviewed by the zoning ordinance. When this building was built, one of the things we have to show is that this building was a legally built building. When this building was built, the ordinance required Haven Avenue to have a 4-foot front yard setback and 2 5-foot setbacks on either side. Now, apparently the builder did not have a surveyor pin the corners of the building because we are too close on the south side by 3 5/8 inch. Now keep in mind, the deck is the only thing that extends into the yards. The building itself has more than 6-foot side yard setbacks on both sides. Now, we should look at first the zoning map and whether we have any detrimental effect on the zoning plan. This is a R240 zone, which is permitted to have a duplex, which this is a duplex. And it's required to have a 40-foot front yard setback, which we have. And we're not proposing to make any changes to the use or any changes to the lot as part of this project, so we don't have any detrimental impact to the public good. As I mentioned, for the zoning ordinance itself, the reason the zoning ordinance has changed lots of times, as you know, the planning board modifies the ordinance. For instance, in Hurricane Sandy, the buildings were all elevated, so the ordinance has to recognize taller buildings. In this particular case, 25 years ago, the planning board was petitioned to have a new design for duplexes. This building was designed, it's all one level over another level, and has a large rear yard setback of 40 feet because we need to provide stacked parking behind the building. That's one of the other reasons why the front yard on Haven Avenue was only 4 feet. The change to the ordinance came about when people wanted to put garages into duplexes, so there was a split level design for duplexes. And it was petitioned to the planning board that was reasonable because the buildings could be shifted back further on the lot. The portion of the building that was taller was in the rear of the yacht where the lot where there was a rear yard setback, the alley and a rear yard setback on the other side, so there was sufficient space between the buildings to have a shorter rear yard, parking only one car outside the building. The other car would be under the building. One of the benefits was to move the building back further away from the front yard, and that's why the setback on Haven Avenue moved from 4 feet to 10 feet. And also, with that 15 feet of building area, there was an ability to put an extra 1 foot side yard setback on one of the sides, so then the combined side yard of 5 feet and 6 feet was required rather than 5 feet on both sides. So we have a difficulty here that we can't change the configuration of our single level building. We still have to park 2 cars in the rear yard, which requires a stacked parking configuration, and we can't do anything to move our building back away from Haven Avenue. So the intent of what we we can do, though, in our design is we can see what we can do in the design to address the requirements of the current ordinance. You'll see in the design that we've set our new construction, which will be the columns, replacement of the columns, and the new roof back 3 5/8 inches on the south side, which meets our 5-foot side yard setback, which is required. We're going to keep the symmetry in the building to put 3 5/8 inches on the north side, so we really can't do much with that side yard setback. But we can recognize, and we had the surveyor show on the survey where the buildings were adjacent to us. On the south side, where we could have a minimum setback between buildings of 10 feet, we have more than 10 feet as setback with the placement of the adjacent building. And on the north side, we have more than 12 foot as a setback between the buildings there. So the intent and purpose, although not completely developed on our lot, it does present itself with the placement of the existing buildings. As I said, the two buildings on either side of us were built about the same time. And if you could see on the exhibit that we provided, which was Exhibit A1, you'll see that the photographs of the buildings on either side of us, they both have roofs over their second story porches. They are duplexes. And also, for the public good, and whether we're any detriment to the public good, could be considered that if you take a look at all of the properties in the surrounding neighborhood, they most all are duplexes, front yard porches, and roofs over the second floor porch. So you can see that we're not creating any detriment to the public good because we are bringing our building more in keeping, which right now is really the only building that doesn't have a roof over the second floor porch. We're bringing it more in keeping with the neighborhood. So we feel that we're not having any detrimental effect or impact on the public good. I think that is my part of the presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions about what I've testified.
Questions? Okay, thank you. You're asked?
My pleasure.
Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reports dated November 6th of 25. As indicated, you're here seeking to construct a roof over the existing second floor porch, inclusion of new railings on the first and second floor, new support columns for the roof over the second floor porch. They do need variances for the minimum front yard to the porch, also minimum side yard to the porch. There are some existing nonconformities on the site, being the front yard setback to the existing porch, and obviously this is a part of the expansion. Maximum building coverage is unchanged, maximum lot coverage is unchanged, minimum parking is unchanged, and side yard setback to the porch, again, is a part of the expansion. Number three, the existing proposed building coverage shall be verified. It appears that less than 40.6 is indicated in the zoning chart. When I looked at it, it looked like it was probably around 34.8%. Nonetheless, it's still over what's existing, but nothing being changed as part of this. An encroachment license for the retaining wall within Haven Avenue should be provided. No guarantees or inspection escrows since there are no public improvements. Versus any plan revisions that would seek step. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Any comments?
Joe, my only question was, and Mr. Howell, I saw on the plans, you noted a right yard, right side, or north side setback requirement is 6 feet.
Yes.
Is it 5 on each side, Joe?
It was 5 on each side back in the old ordinance. The current ordinance is a combined side yard of 5 feet and 6 foot on the other side. Total of 11 feet.
So you need relief on both sides.
Correct.
Yeah, 5.1 on the right
actually,
side.
Actually, on the south side, we are correcting the problem by putting our new construction at the 5 foot setback. The deck will not meet the requirement, but that is an existing non-conforming condition. But we're putting all of our new construction at the 5 foot setback mark. So technically, I don't know whether we need one on the south side, but we do need one on the north side. So we don't meet the 6 foot.
So you're not reconstructing the deck. You're just putting the columns up.
Just putting posts to support the second floor deck and posts to support the roof.
So the posts and the roof will be at the will meet the 5 foot on the
yes.
south side.
The roof we're allowed to overhang 1 foot, and that is permitted into the side yard, which is what we will do. But it will start at the 5 foot mark, which is where our posts and railing will be on the south side.
Okay, Joe.
Any
Joe, does that make sense to you then?
It's actually 5 foot is the minimum. Yeah, it's kind of weird. A lot of our sections have 5 foot, but then it'll say 11 foot for total.
Okay. So, so the variance would really be on the north side then, is what you're saying.
Okay. Are you finished, sir?
I'm finished, yeah.
Okay. No summary. That's good. We'll open it to the public. Ma'am, would you like to? You are the public.
No.
Okay. We'll start off here with Board Marie.
I have a question.
Just one question. Is any, you're 92% impervious. Wondering if there's any consideration to try and find a little bit of an opportunity to pull that down a little bit, add some grass.
At grass where?
Look at your north side yard. There's no entry on that side, so in theory that side yard could be grass.
The neighborhood is entirely paved.
They just repaved
each
everything.
Of the buildings at the rear of the building, and the neighbors use the sidewalk to get front to back as much as we do. So I don't know what benefit that would provide, since all of the sidewalks, if you look at the photographs, I think you can see that all of the side yards are concrete. There is a small planter on the north side, and there's a planter in front of the building.
And they redid all the sidewalks a couple years ago when they moved all the water heaters from the back of the house to the front. So they repaved all the sidewalks there. So there's really no room to,
Well, that's outside the property line. They're talking about on your property. Can you create more impervious? Reduce your impervious. The sidewalk is beyond your property.
Oh. I don't know. I'd rather. What's that? I'm not quite.
It's this space right next to the plant that goes down the sidewalk. But like I said,
they use it too.
That's why I say
the neighbors on that side use that sidewalk more than we use it.
I understand. It's just when we see something with 92% coverage in a 60% zone, a lot of times when we see a variance application, somebody tries to bring down some of the other existing non-conformities. There's just a question.
All you have, right?
No questions.
Questions?
No. Joe, a couple questions. So the planters are not kind of impervious in any way, right? I'm sorry.
Oh, the planters go alongside the building?
Yeah.
I think
the one in the front.
Yeah, most of it's all stone, anyhow, which really doesn't count as impervious.
But I think that one extends beyond, and they need the encroachment license anyway. So
that was my next question.
Yeah.
That
doesn't fall under variance,
so
that's more of an encroachment license.
Yeah, that would be an encroachment license they get from the council.
Lastly, Joe, the roof. So I saw it was a two pitch on that porch roof. Is that a different code as opposed to the roof on like the main roof? So I know if you were building a new structure, you would need a minimum of 412. Does a porch roof or a panel roof have a different?
I think the porch roof can be down to 212.
Can be down to 212?
Yes.
Okay. That's all that I have.
Jamie?
I think I've been waiting for this one much.
I hope so. It's been a long time coming to be talking about it.
You actually used a fireplace? The two fireplaces? You guys each have a fireplace?
Yeah, well, the fireplace is gas. Okay. He doesn't use the fireplace downstairs. But it's so hot to be out on that deck.
Yeah,
with the sun, the house looks so old compared to the other houses. Because of that.
No more.
No more?
No.
Okay, very good. Thank you. You can summarize if you'd like, but I think you've touched the voter.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay, thank you.
Does she have anything for me?
All right, so this is a C variance application. There's two C variances. It's what we call the C2, flexible C2 standards, where the applicant has to demonstrate both the positive and the negative criteria. The positive criteria being whether one or more purposes of zoning as set forth in the Municipal Land Use Act have been advanced. You heard the testimony from the applicant that they're really not changing the building. They just want to put a roof and columns over the second floor porch. It's consistent with some of the surrounding properties. This is a two-family dwelling, and there's several in the area, was the testimony. And then in terms of the negative criteria, there's really two showings on that, whether the variances can be granted without a substantial detriment to the public good, and that really goes to whether it will affect the neighborhood. There's obviously been no public opposition, and whether it will substantially impair the intent and purpose of our zoning plan and zoning ordinance. And again, they've submitted some exhibits and some testimony that this is consistent with the pattern of development in the neighborhood. The two C variances that are being requested, the front yard setback to the, it's already at 5.9 feet, but since they're putting a roof, 10 feet is the requirement, but since they're putting a roof over it, it's a front yard setback to the deck at 5.9 feet. So that's the one variance. And then the other one is for the side yard setback. The testimony was that on the south side, they're going to be compliant with the 5 feet, and the columns will be at the 5 feet. But on the north side, which is the right side, where 6 feet is the requirement, seems like your plans show it at 5.4 feet.
Columns. I think it's actually, right now on the south side, it's 4.7 to the porch. So we kind of looked at that as a vertical expansion with the roof on it. So I believe that was the variance. So in terms of side yard, they meet the required side yard. The 6 comes from the building, which requires a total of 11.
Gotcha.
But I think the variance requested is for the porch on the south side of 4.7 feet.
Okay. I thought his testimony was that they were going to bring that in, but it's...
Yeah, I think the columns will meet
the
it.
The columns will meet, but
the
since
deck itself
it's a vertical expansion.
Will be in the vertical expansion.
Okay. Does everyone understand that? And then in terms of the conditions, there's the standard conditions that we put in every resolution. We'll note that anything in Mr. McVeigh's report will be a condition of approval as well. In terms of any specific conditions that arose tonight, I didn't hear any. So if there's no further discussions or questions of me, we'll need a motion, a second, and then a roll call vote.
Motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Roll call. Mr. Price?
I think it's an improvement, although yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Dramatic improvement on the facade of the structure, definitely. Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes, definitely an upgrade over existing, so yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Next is ZBA 25-019, Ocean City Development Group, 2316 18 Simpson Avenue, Block 2306, Lot 17, BW 140 Zone.
Thank you, members of the board, Mr. Chairman. We are going to be here on behalf of the applicant. The application is filed by Ocean City Development Group, LLC. That entity is actually the owner of the property, which Jamie just gave you the statistics for. The property is an interior lot measuring 40 feet by 115 feet. The property is located in BW 140 Zone. It contains under construction single-family dwelling. The applicant is here tonight seeking approval to construct the single-family dwelling without having one-third of the habitable building dropped to create a split level at CFU. It's a first for me in 28 years. The not having the split level violates section 25.2.04.23.5 of the ordinance, which requires the first one-third of the first floor to be a maximum of 5 feet above the exterior grade elevation, which is approximately 10.2, or a minimum of 2 feet above BFE. And since BFE is 9 feet, the maximum elevation permitted is 11, and we are seeking to exceed that. The statute that I just read to you is the only variances that we're requesting or required tonight for approval of the application. It's important for the board to note that the request is not going to increase the height of the building, which is conforming. It's not going to increase the applicable area of the building. It's not going to lead to any increase in any other bulk criteria. The building is also well below the maximum threshold for floor area ratio. It's below impervious coverage. Front yard setback is greater. The side yard setbacks are greater than what they could be. And then finally, the building is only proposed to contain 2 stories when it could have 2.4 stories. The requested variance can be granted and evaluated under the C2 standard, and that the request is de minimis in nature. It's not going to be noticeable from the street, not be noticeable by any neighbor. As a result, the testimony and evidence that we're going to present will indicate that there is no detriment to the public good, and granting the variance is not fair to the intent and purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance. The applicant intends on calling one witness tonight, that's the project architect, Chris Halliday.
All right, Mr. Halliday, just give us your name and business address for the record, please.
Sure. Christopher Halliday, architect at 728 West Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you'll give us an evening to do the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, can you provide the board an overview of the application and the rationale for this request?
Sure. I think Mr. Tyler did a great job just describing this building. It is a building with parking underneath to get it. That's on 2 stories above. And I'll go back in time a little bit. When the ordinance in Ocean City was created in 2001, there was an emphasis of lowering the front of the building and the porch in order to engage the community and have more community interaction at porch level to the sidewalk. Obviously, at that time, the heights were determined from the center line of street. After Hurricane Sandy, those heights changed, and recently they've just changed again. So everything has kind of gone above the ground and is getting higher and higher. In this zone, the Bay West R1 neighborhood is the only zone in Ocean City that has this specific requirement to drop the first third of the building on all homes, regardless of the design. And what we're seeing is that it just becomes a hardship for the building because it creates kind of a sunken living room area, which is not necessarily accessible. It's difficult. Residential elevators, they cannot stop between, depends on the manufacturer, but typically it's 18 inches between floors. It needs a greater distance than 18 inches, so you can't go from a kitchen level down 18 inches to a living level and have that access. So we feel this is kind of older language that was created with good intention at the original time, but due to the new flood heights and the current requirements, it's kind of it's not, the intent is no longer being satisfied because the requirements of that one-third height is greater than what it was anticipated for. So, and also, we've done homes in this neighborhood and this zone, which are fully raised. So we've found that this language, it was kind of hidden in the code, and Jessica's a great zoning officer, she found it, and she enforced it, which is her job. We have built a handful of homes in this neighborhood, and two of which were built similar to this, where they were fully raised, and it was a by right application, and there was no issue. They're right on Bay Avenue. I think they look good. They don't stand out from the neighborhood. So I think we're not harming the neighborhood by asking for this 2 additional feet. It's also worth noting that even the language in the schedule does not comply with the zoning ordinance currently. It's requiring the first floor at 11 feet, where what's required by the zoning ordinance for every house is 12 feet in this zone. The new height is actually 14 feet, which we'll have to comply with now.
Chris, it's your understanding that this specific section in the ordinance has been open for being removed by the city solicitor, is that correct?
Yes, we've had conversations with Dottie, and she has a list of items that she's trying to get through to clean up the ordinance, and this is one of those items that they're looking at, especially in this zone, and honestly, island-wide, just because the intent of lowering that section is in conflict with the flood prevention ordinance.
This is the only variance we need tonight, correct?
Correct.
And you provided, I think, ample rationale and justification for it. Not noticeable from the street. You're not going to know. Nobody's going to know the difference, correct?
Correct. We're talking now that with the new code and the new ordinance at 14 feet, it's a minimal distance difference between the height, whereas you can still stand up in the crawl space at 14 feet underneath of that area. We're just asking for a little bit more. And again, it helps with aging in place. This is an upside-down living space home with bedrooms on the first level and a small entertainment room. Just to cut that and split that and lower that, it means that if you have any mobility challenges, you're not going to be able to use that space.
You took the words out. It creates a mobility issue when you have steps in the middle of your house, three steps that you have to kind of walk to get in your living room up and down. Correct?
That's correct.
All right. Not noticeable in any neighbor?
No.
All right.
We're below the maximum. If this were lowered, you could fit an additional half story. We're not looking for an additional half story. We're 20% less than the maximum FAR. We're a full 0.4 stories below what's allowed. We're 5%, 4.9% less than only impervious, and we have the greater setbacks inside.
I mean, it's not a maxed out building or even a close to maxed out building by any stretch, right?
Correct.
All right. You mentioned the stories. We only have two, impervious coverage, floor area ratio, parking. Parking's fully conforming, correct?
Correct.
All right, and this request is not going to create any additional habitable space. Correct?
Correct.
No increase in bedroom count, no increase in bathroom count.
That's correct.
All right. And I liked your analogy about removing a sunken living room, which is a relic from times past, correct?
I have a home built in 1966 that we've renovated. I do have a sunken living room, and the toddlers, would fall often on their stairs. It is a two-step down, and we're not necessarily creating those as design inspiration boards now in new homes where everything is kind of at the same level just for ease of furniture placement, etc.
In your professional opinion, can this variance be granted under the C2 standard?
Yes.
You consider this a de minimis request?
I do.
There's an element of safety that goes along with this as well as removing these steps. It makes for a safer.
Safer and just accessible. It allows people to age and have access to every floor of your house from that residential elevator. With these houses getting taller and taller, now every home typically that we build new has this residential elevator so that people they don't have to go up the 15 steps that are required to get to that new first floor.
And, certainly promoting the general welfare, like a structure building that is undersized and well below maximum threshold. Almost every bulk criteria.
It's a great part of the island. It's a neighborhood area, and this home is designed for a family.
Do you see any detriment whatsoever to the public good?
No.
Any impairment to the intent and purpose of the zone plan, zoning ordinance?
I do think that they are working to update the ordinance.
Okay, so your testimony to negative criteria has been satisfied.
Yes.
Those are all the questions I have for Mr. Holliday at the moment. Applicant rests.
Okay, you rest? Very good. Shall we open it to the public?
You want Joe? How about Joe first?
Oh, Joe. I miss Joe? Yes.
Hi, Mr. Chair. Report is dated, actually revised up to January 15th. I don't know. I think a couple steps toughens up the kids, doesn't it? Nonetheless, they're here seeking a variance. Avery has indicated the section we have to. It is a rather unique section, so they do need a variance because the house is not down to that elevation that's the first 1/3. Other than that, detail for the proposed retaining walls are provided. Top wall and bottom wall elevation shall be provided in the plans for the retaining wall. Indicate the proposed tree species. Proposed spot elevations at each end of the sidewalk by indicated to match the elevation of the adjacent sidewall. Detail for the proposed fence shall be provided. Guarantee and inspection escrow will be provided for all public improvements. The applicant shall be aware that the alley is under a moratorium, but since the home was sold on October 16th, the engineer's office will allow utility work within that alley. And of course, any additional plan revisions the board sees fit. And that's it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
The
fence details, how high of a fence are we talking?
4 feet.
Okay, so you don't need permission. Okay. And you want Joe to create the cost estimate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Unless you have any comments. One question, Chris. I think you were abundantly clear on this, but just so I'm crystal clear, the new world with real pact, that 12 foot would be below what's required anyhow.
Yes.
So this has to change in the ordinance.
Correct. We don't anticipate raising the ridge height, so the ridge height will stay the same, but the tabulations will most... I don't know how we're going to handle that, honestly, Joe.
I don't know.
We're aiming before the real pack, but...
Just in general, if you came back to see us on this exact same application in a year, you couldn't have... That ordinance wouldn't be possible because it's below...
Correct.
...the new flying.
Correct. And it's out. It's lot by lot specific, obviously. The lower the lot, the higher the building.
Sure.
And I'll, you know, weigh it based on the data. What this house does comply on the first floor to the new requirements.
Right.
So we don't need to make any changes to the mass bulk and scale of this house if the construction official says, you know, make sure it complies with the new rules that were adopted by the city yesterday, which is elevation 14.9.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I know they're still in discussion. That still has a chance of changing again.
Yeah. And the way I think the city solicitor did a good job in the language that the ordinance was updated to just says we will comply with the New Jersey standards. So if New Jersey changes their mind again, we don't. The planning board, the zoning board, the language in the ordinance doesn't change. We just comply with the new standards, whatever they are. So.
And actually, currently, New Jersey has actually got a six-month basic waiver period until any of those take effect.
So we'll comply with the new flood rule. If the only thing it would affect is pool equipment at this point, and you know, it would be up to the designer's professional to figure out where to put it, that would be within compliance of the ordinance.
Okay. Done?
Thank you.
Avery, any more comments before
we wrap up? We're at rest.
Okay, thank you. Open to the public. We have comments. Anybody else to testify about this or ask questions? Okay, we'll close.
Just
you have to come up, give us your name.
Hi, Gina Gallagher, 2321 Bay Avenue.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Gallagher.
And your address?
2321 Bay Avenue.
Okay. And Ms. Gallagher, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm on the alley with the property that is in question here. And I just want to make sure that I understood crystal clear, as you said. So you're doing 14 feet up, parking underneath.
So not. I'm sorry, parking underneath. I'll come to the microphone just for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
To answer your question,
yeah.
Perfect. So we're going to about 8.5 feet to allow for parking underneath, but that 14 foot is a dam above high tide.
Okay.
So that's just
yes.
The flood ordinance.
The flood ordinance.
Yes.
Which is the new code.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And everything else is basically just a two-story house.
You got it. So there's a provision in your zone that asks the front one-third of the first floor to have a split level. And it's like an older provision. And that's what we're asking for relief from that. We're asking for just a floor straight across.
Okay. Because I have an older home, I guess you could say, and I don't have a split level.
Are you just on crawl space straight through?
Yes.
That would comply. That's within
okay.
compliance.
All right, so then basically you're building it just kind of like my home taller.
Correct. So
okay.
That's for the
yep. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? If not, we'll close it. Mr. Maffey?
I'm good.
Do you need to continue work comment?
Yeah, do you want to see if the board has any questions now?
I think it's supported.
Okay.
Brian,
go ahead. Jamie, you want to start it?
Yeah, my question was, because I should know this, but I don't. The height you're going is 42 feet, and you could go maximum of how high if you want to?
42. Yep, that's so the maximum height, the 30 feet above flood is the maximum height, and it's 42 per the submission. Now it's 44.
Okay.
Now it's 44, but we're going 30 feet above. The difference is just that front third, you could lower down, still allow for parking, and add another story above.
Okay.
Yeah, so
thank you, I just wanted to clarify. Thank you so much.
Yep.
No question at all for me.
Brian?
To kind of piggyback off of what Mr. Luke said, so if this new ordinance gets put in place, we're allowed to go 2 feet taller, does this variance go away? Or because of that third scenario? I guess, regardless of that one third scenario, the height that you're asking for now, if they got rid of that one third scenario, would you need a variance for this height here?
Technically, we need a variance for anything over elevation 11.
But then it changes to what, 14?
The code would need to be updated to 14 to change.
Yeah, so that one section requires that front part to be lower. Yeah. Unless that's removed,
that's what I'm saying. So that,
but it's unique, Mr. Price, because it actually lists elevation 11. It doesn't list the flood. The current plant, the current zoning says this first floor has to be at elevation 11, which is even below a foot below what's required. Right. So anything above that, I think Jess has been flexible, but anything above that technically requires variance, even though it's below what's the flood prevention ordinance allows.
The new one coming in.
New one. So to comply with the building department, we're going to have to go to 14. Yeah, and we're above that. We're at 16. And
you can go three above that without requesting a variance. Similar to what we're doing now?
I'm not quite sure. This was like.
I'm trying to think of it. If this is, like Brian said, a year down the road and all that stuff goes through, this height that you're asking for would be like the new norm.
Yeah, very similar. Right. It's lot dependent, like I said. So if a lower lot closer to the bird sanctuary in this zone, a lot of those lots are located at elevation 4. So the new flood prevention ordinance would require that first floor to be 10 feet above the ground. We're doing a house on 28th Street, and that's the actual grade is at 3. So that first floor is now required to be 11 feet above grade. And we're as an office internally, we're advising our clients to try to get their garage slab above 7. We find that 7 is where Juno was, Sandy was 7.5. So just to get cars, vehicles, everything out of wet areas, we're trying to get as high as possible. So we're kind of raising that project on 28th, we're raising up 30 inches, and then we're pitching the slab as well to try to get some height in there just for nuisance flooding and protection. I mean, it's gonna take, in the future, these nuisance floods are not going away. In these low areas, it's going to come down to the individual property owners to try to protect their properties and their whatever they have in their garages, essentially. So that's what we're doing. But to answer your question, lot dependent, but elevation 14 throughout, and it's going this lot we are raising to get that garage slab at 6.5. If it were a buy right application, and I appreciate the time that everybody puts in here. It's not my favorite thing to do to come to zoning boards, ask for forgiveness, just because we would prefer to do buy right things. So if this application were, if we got this job today, I wouldn't have added grid fill. I would have lowered the garage slab in order to avoid having to come in front of the board. We're slightly higher than that 14 now. I would have just kind of...
pushed the garage down.
You push the garage down. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And then the other thing, I know that there's been two buildings in this neighborhood. I don't know if Bay Avenue is the same zone as Simpson, but the two on Bay Avenue are dangerously similar to this, right? They were,
yeah.
From what you said, Jessica just didn't enforce that rule for those two private.
The language was kind of hidden. Yeah, so the language was kind of hidden, and it wasn't Jessica's fault. It wasn't in the actual ordinance. It was in the schedule, and it was an asterisk at the bottom. So I think it was just one of those things that she found, and she's. It's the law it's her job to make sure the law is enforced.
But this building is essentially the same as the one you drew right behind it.
On Bay Avenue? Yeah, similar.
Like and then, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Correct. And then there's another house on Bay Avenue that we drew that has like a large stair that goes down. That's fully raised as well. It's a road, yeah.
That's all I have.
I don't want to belabor this point because good questions, but just to clarify, if you wanted to build this as a split in order to comply with the new plus two for real, you'd actually be building a taller house. Is that correct?
For the new ordinance, yes. It would be taller.
It would be taller than it's designed right now.
By 2 feet, yes. Right. Correct.
So you're actually, by doing this and complying with the ordinance, you're staying 2 feet lower.
Correct. And I do think this language is going to go away. Okay. I mean, I think it's been tagged as something that was, again, the intent was good. They're trying to make sure people can go on front porches and say hi to neighbors. That was the whole intent of this language. It was just pre-Sandy. That was, you know, 25 years ago, and a lot has changed since then.
Brian?
Just one question. In the ground floor, the opposite side of the garage, column lines 1 through 3, what's the plan for all that space? Just storage or?
Adjacent to the elevator?
Just between 1 and 3 in general.
Yeah, that zone. So the pool is right here. So that's just storage area. And that's where the pool equipment is located currently, right here. So it's just garage storage.
Okay.
And pool storage currently.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Questions? Now, when you referenced your building 1028 that you said had the elevator,
it's a by right. It's on the bird sanctuary, right on Haven. So, and that the grade is at elevation 3.5.
Oh, that floods.
It floods a lot. So we're trying to raise that lot, and I think it is going to, like, that's the future, right? We see Roosevelt Boulevard. Everything is kind of, everybody's trying to get out of harm's way. It's not going the opposite direction.
Okay, very good. Would you like to summarize, sir?
I don't have much to say, but, you know, lost in all this, it is kind of a silly thing to have, make people have the stairs down. I lived in a duplex when I was a younger man, waking up in the morning sometimes. Coming down those steps could be treacherous on certain days of the week. Also, not to be lost in the application, this building's very, very modest in size. Front yard setback is 11 feet greater than what it could be. Both side yard setbacks are a foot greater. Only got 2 stories instead of 2.5. The impervious coverage is less. Floor area ratio over 20% less than what it could be. Parking's fully conforming. It's just one of those wacky code sections. You know, I've been doing this a long time. It's the first time I've ever brought a application under this code section. And you really didn't even know it existed. I guess I kind of did, but so I think it's de minimis, and I think Chris has provided enough evidence and testimony to have the board approve the application. Thank you.
Okay. Summarized, shall we go around? Your summary is finished, sir?
There's nothing else. It's again another what we call a C2 variance application. It's one variance. There's this somewhat interesting provision that apparently is only applicable to the B1 40 zone that requires the first third of the first floor to be at a lower level. And that's the only variance that they're seeking. And just to summarize some of the testimony, the applicant presented that this was really a pre-Sandy provision that potentially could be eliminated down the road. In terms of the positives versus the negatives, the applicant presented this was a de minimis request. Having a level first floor is a safety element. Helps with access in terms of the elevators, and then in terms of the negative criteria, they're proposing a new single family dwelling with a swimming pool that either meets or in many cases exceeds the ordinance requirements. It's only 2 stories. The testimony was the front yard setbacks in excess of what's required, the side yards are in excess of what's required, the coverages are below the maximum permitted, so the testimony was by no means are they maxing out the buildable area of this home. It's a modest request, and it's just this one variance. So if there's no other questions, we'll need a motion and a second, and a roll call vote.
Motion, Jamie.
Second.
Who was that?
Lauren.
Right.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
ZBA 25-018, Rodak 108-1053rd Street, Lot 5305, Lot 2, OCH End Zone.
Jamie, would it be okay if I hand out exhibits now just to make it so that's not a mess later?
Then you can just say you recognize them. How many are there?
There's two, an aerial map, and before and after photos. And then I have a couple other things that surprises pop up.
All right, so what do we do? No, you did not. Just lick your finger.
I'll lick your finger.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, so let me have...
So, you'll go first. Aerial map?
A1 is an aerial?
Yep. And then A2 would be before and after photos.
Yeah, you can...
Okay, just to make it so that I'm not...
Did you get that, Leo? A1 is the aerial, and A2 is before and after photos.
Again, for the record, Avery Tyler here on behalf of the applicants. This is the application of David and Lisa Rodak, the owners of the Street, which is known as Lot 2, Lot 5305. The property is an undersized interior lot measuring 50 feet by 80 feet. The property is located in Ocean City, on the neighborhood zone. It contains a renovated single-family dwelling. In 2015, the applicants received front yard setback and building coverage variance relief to remodel the existing dwelling on the property. Part of that remodel was to add a front porch to the building. The front porch was added to the building, however, it was constructed approximately 11 inches further into the front yard setback than permitted, thus triggering the need for additional variances. To segue a little bit, the applicants on a parallel track received a zoning permit to add 138 square foot addition over the back southwest corner of the house. Once they figured out that this porch situation needed relief, that also triggered relief for the addition that you're about to see on the plans. That relief is totally independent and separate from the front porch relief. That's because the garage is too close to the home. It's important for the board to understand and note that these are pre-existing non-conforming conditions that are not going to be exacerbated whatsoever by this addition. Also, although the front porch encroaches further into the front yard setback, it's not going to be out of line with most of the homes on the block and in the neighborhood, as you're going to see from the exhibits that Chris has passed out. The large majority of the surrounding properties have front porches that encroach into the setback. Because of the lot size, the requested variances can be granted under the C1 standard. The lot is 20% deficient for lot depth and lot area. This created undue hardship on the applicants in renovating the building in a conforming manner. The requested variances can also be granted under the C2 standard and that multiple purposes of zoning will achieve as well as project, including promoting more desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and providing for good civic design and arrangement. Its final dwelling has provided a structure that is consistent with the neighborhood scheme and zone and is harmonious with most of the existing homes in the area. The testimony and evidence will indicate that the positive aspects of this application are only negative aspects, and that there's no substantial detriment to the public good. Granting the variance does not substantially impair the intent or purpose of the zone plan and zoning ordinance. The applicants intend on calling one witness tonight, project architect Christopher Halley.
Okay, since it's a new application, I would typically swear you in again. So just for the record, Mr. Halliday, name and address for the record.
Chris Halliday, 728 West Avenue.
And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give tonight will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chris, can you provide the board an overview of first the previous application just to refresh the board's recollection and then the current application?
Sure. I think Mr. Waddell is having flashbacks on this one. I think he was the only board member, perhaps 10 years ago, that saw the original application. So David,
20 years ago.
What's that?
20 years ago.
Yeah. David and Lisa Rodak approached me in 2015 looking to aesthetically improve their home from the street while creating a more inviting entry and outdoor living space. The home was a brick-faced barn and saltbox-influenced home. It lacked, as you can see by the exhibit, it lacked some architectural appeal. So we developed a plan to add dormers, replacing the skylights in the second floor bedrooms, while also adding a covered front porch and a gable element to call out the entry. The overall design was Cape Cod influenced, trying to kind of make sure it had a sense of place in our nautical environment. This work was approved. We did the architecture in 2015. We were in front of the board January 2016. It was approved January 2016. And it was constructed in 2016 as well. This past year, the Rodacs asked me to study a small by-right addition within the footprint of the second floor of the home, one bedroom, one bathroom. They have a growing family. Like many Ocean City homes, they fill up in the summertime and they're just looking for a little bit more space for kids to have heads on beds, essentially. We actually developed a plan. We submitted for zoning approval. We went through that zoning approval. We actually did two rounds with Jessica to make sure that the addition was conforming to her standards. And when submitting a new survey, it was discovered that the front porch that was built 10 years ago was 11 inches too big. And that's why we're here today. So a previous variance was approved for a front porch. And that new porch is encroaching into what was previously approved by 11 inches. Obviously, the porch didn't grow. It was a mistake during construction. After getting this news, we pulled our application, and I had the Rodacs call Mr. Tyler to discuss options moving forward. In order to close out the initial permit, if we could, and also come back in front of the board and ask for forgiveness for the mistake.
Let's just go through the variances quickly, just so we're all clear with that. So we need, just before we do the front yard setback and for the porch only, correct?
Correct.
For the 18 inches, or yes. Excuse me, 11 inches. The building itself does not encroach.
Correct.
All right. And
the building does encroach, but we are not expanding that encroachment. That building's been there since.
Thank you. Yeah, you corrected me.
The 60s.
The area that encroaches in the front yard setback of the porch, it's relatively de minimis in size, 32 square feet?
Correct.
So that's all that really encroaches in the front part of the house, correct?
Correct. That's 11 7/8 of an inch by the whole extension of that front.
And it's on 53rd Street?
It is.
Okay.
Which on this zone, in Ocean City Home Zone, although the footprint of the home of the habitable square feet is only 900 square feet, a covered porch counts towards your building coverage. So because it has a roof, it counts towards your building coverage. So we were over in building coverage during our previous application. The current application asked for forgiveness as well for building coverage of an increase of 1.5% for that porch area.
Okay, covered the building coverage. Total side yard setback for the porch too, because since it went out the 11 inches, it also went to the side yard 11 inches, correct?
Correct.
2 square feet?
Correct.
All right, so you have front yard, side yard, total side yard, and then you have side yard setback for the HVAC condenser. Can you describe what that condition is for?
Sure. I have actually a picture from 2015 that's been there. It's an existing non-conforming element. Mr. Maffei asked us to list it just for housekeeping reasons, and so it's listed as existing non-conforming. I have a picture from 2015 if the board would like to see. I can submit that as an exhibit. It's up to the secretary. I think that would be relevant. Would you like me to submit that picture? Just showing the AC condenser. That it's not new, essentially. It's an existing non-conforming condition from that was there during the previous application. This is a picture of AC condenser here. And that's a pre-porch.
Yep. Call that 883.
Sorry, everybody's just. There's the condenser. Didn't know if I'd have to put this camera.
And again, this is just to show that we're not trying to hide anything. You know, a lot of these non-conformings were there previously, and they're still there. Because the house hasn't changed.
Let's talk about the last variance, which is the minimum distance to the main building from the garage, which was over the addition. You've sort of described that to the board, but I just want to make sure that we're clear that that addition in and of itself should be a by right addition, correct?
Correct. I do have the correspondence with the zoning officer via email if the board would like to see that. The only zoning issue from the zoning office was the front porch setback. So because it was within the envelope of the house and we were not going closer to the existing garage, we were not exacerbating an existing non-conforming element, Jessica did not flag that as requiring a variance. But I understand why it was listed and requested for this board, because this is a zoning variance board, and it's good to be thorough to list all these items.
And that item's not going to change, regardless of what happens. You're still going to have this distance between the main building and the garage that's going to be non-conforming, correct?
That's correct.
All right. These are all C variances.
Correct.
And you testified to this, but just so we're clear, the front porch is already on the property. What's there now is what we're trying to get approved.
Correct. It's been there for 10 years. As part of the application, knowing that a mistake was made with our submission, we do have a reduction of impervious coverage by 5% by installing pervious pavers in the driveway. Just knowing that, we're asking for something that was a mistake, and we wanted to make sure that the board felt like we're trying to make some improvements to the property, not just asking for things.
You heard me say that this is an undersized lot. It's undersized for lot depth and lot area by 20%. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And then one of the exhibits that you submitted, it shows the other front yard setbacks along 53rd Street. So even though we're approaching the front yard setback, we're certainly not going to be out of line with the other surrounding properties.
That's correct. This is like many of our zones, especially bigger zones like Ocean City Home, Marion Park, there are inconsistent lot sizes. So you can look at the aerial view. All the lots on either side of 53rd Street are undersized due to lot depth. So on this stretch of road, they're all shorter than what's allowed and they're undersized. And when they built these properties, 7 out of 10 of those homes from Bay Avenue to West Avenue encroach into the front yard setback. So we're not looking for something that is not common in the neighborhood. This was the justification for the previous variance. If you were to walk the street now, the front porch would not look out of place. It essentially aligns with those 7 neighbors. There are some 3 or 4 homes that encroach further than what we're asking for. So it's within the pattern of development on the street.
Yeah, you sort of took the words out of my mouth. If you walked the street, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in porch size. It's not dramatic.
Over the last decade, we did not get any neighbor complaints that this porch looks bigger than what was approved. It was an honest mistake. And Mr. Rodak would say the same thing. It was just ignorance, not knowing that this would be an issue down the road. And obviously, with his wallet, he now knows that it was an issue down the road, and he's had to come back in front of the board and ask for forgiveness. So it was a mistake.
The Ocean City ordinance, as we all know, provides certain design incentives for front porches, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so.
Which we talked about during the last time.
We talked about it during the last time, so we're safe to say that the ordinance master plan may encourage front porches.
Correct.
So it's encouraged, but it's slightly bigger than what was previously approved.
Yep, and it was just after speaking to Mr. and Mrs. Rodak, it came to my attention it was just an aesthetic, trying to fit enough room for a layered PVC fascia, and that's kind of why it encroached to get that shadow line and roof line. So it was, Mr. Rodak in his previous life was a builder, he's retired, he built this deck himself. So it was ignorance that he didn't realize that this would be an issue down the road.
The underlying building, as the last application, it's not a big building by any stretch, right? Our height floor area ratio well below the maximums.
Yes, correct.
It's on a pretty smaller footprint, 935 square foot footprint.
935 square feet of habitable space. The house is 15 feet less in height than what's allowed.
We all have neighbors and friends that live in this neighborhood. It's a charming neighborhood. There's a lot of families there, and this house does not look out of place. A lot of the homes are now being raised and lifted. This is one of the originals that they've improved with aesthetic improvements in the front. But it does look like it belongs.
And just for the record, the addition that we're requesting back is only 138 square feet.
That's correct.
All right. In your professional opinion, can these variances be granted under the hardship standard as a result of the deficient lot area and lot depth?
I think it's a very similar application to what we came in front of the board with previously. It still aligns with the neighbors, and it doesn't look out of place. I've driven by this home dozens of times since then, and always look at it and say that was a good project. So I had no idea that there was an issue.
And this, especially so with the addition, I mean, the addition is, variance relief is triggered based upon the fact that the garage condition is what it is. It's an existing non-conforming condition, which will not be really exacerbating, so to speak.
Correct.
And the HVAC condenser, as you've testified and as shown with the exhibits, it's been there. It is there.
It was there on the previous application. It was there when we filed for that permit. It was there when we did not go for closeout for that permit.
All right, and let's talk about the variances being granted, maybe more appropriately under the C2 standard. Let's talk about the purposes of zoning that are being met under the municipal land use law. We're promoting the general welfare by reducing the non-conforming impervious coverage.
Correct.
All right. The deck obviously provides more light, air, and open space.
That's correct.
All right.
And the Rodak family does sit on the deck. They have friends in the neighborhood. People gather on that deck. There's good life and energy, which is why front porches are designed the same.
And the deck, specifically this deck, it creates a little bit more desirable visual environment, maybe a little bit nicer than what was previously proposed based upon the what you testified to as far as the overhang, the fascia, and everything else. Would that be a fair statement?
I would say it's a bigger improvement than what was there before with that front porch and the dormers and just the aesthetic improvement.
Okay, but specifically the porch that's actually there now.
Yes.
Okay, so you know, in that respect, the visual aesthetic may outweigh the 11-inch detriment. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it still aligns with all the neighbors. It's not out of place, yes.
Okay. And you know, the encroachment, it's on 53rd Street. It's not blocking anyone's light, air, and open space, and it is in line with the other homes. I think you testified 7 out of 10 in that area, which creates a level of harmony.
Yes.
So let's talk about substantial detriment. Do you see a substantial detriment to the public with grant the application?
With these squatter lots in this area that are undersized by 1,000 square feet, it would be difficult to fit a home, like even this home. We have a 900 square foot footprint of habitable space, and we're just trying to add some outdoor living space that has coverage for sun protection and weather protection, rather than just a patio in the front yard. I think this is not a request that it's a benefit, not a detriment. It's not an unreasonable request to have a front porch in a home like this, especially because all the other neighbors also encroach. If we were the only one on the block that encroached, I think this would be unreasonable. But since these lots are similarly sized on either side, and they do encroach into the front yard, by the original pattern of development in the 60s when this was developed, I don't think it's unreasonable.
All right. Any substantial impairments in the tent purposes of the planning zoning ordinance based upon what you just testified to?
No.
Okay. So true testament is the negative criteria should satisfy.
Yes.
Okay, those are all the questions I have for Mr. Halliday. The applicant's going to rest for the moment.
Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Report dated January 14th of 26. As indicated, you're here seeking approval to basically allow the existing front yard setback to remain. It was built 0.99 feet further into the front yard setback than previously granted variance relief. They're also going to propose a 138 square foot second floor addition over the back southwest corner and replace the existing concrete ribbon with a purple paper driveway. As indicated, we're going to need C variances for the front yard setback to the porch, side yards of the porch. It's indicated that the HVAC is an existing non-conforming, so that variance is not necessary. Maximum building coverage and minimum distance to the main building, which is the distance between the house and the garage. There were some existing non-conformities, obviously the front porch, impervious coverage, which has been eliminated with the increase of the impermeable pavers.
the distance to the main building, that's a vertical expansion, and of course the HVAC setback. The zoning chart shall be revised to provide the existing proposed setbacks consistent with the setbacks shown on the plan. All taxes to be paid up to date. I think that was an old comment. This was from January. That's been taken care of. No guarantees required since no public improvements are proposed. An inspection escrow provided for the permeable driveway. And of course, any additional plan revisions the board sees fit. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. That's coming. Last anything? Marie? Brad?
With the condenser, any chance that can be moved to eliminate that to the back of the house?
They had one corner.
Yeah. Wouldn't that eliminate one of the variances?
In order to eliminate the variances, we'll have to move it back and in because it would be in the
yeah,
second
like
side.
Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
The applicant's indicated he can accommodate that.
Yeah, we'll
with, I mean, if the board sees fit to approve, we can just say it has to be in a conforming condition.
Conforming location.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Yeah, I'm only a little weird about height. Not with the fenestration.
It looked like there was a window in the back, but it would, you know, you
yeah,
moved it all
out.
To the right.
It might be on the roof. with the new flood ordinance. It's probably gonna, I think it has to be about 9 feet high.
Okay. And then, actually, one other question. That initial permit's closed out, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
It's not.
Okay.
That was a
and
discovery as well.
From this.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if, what procedure or process, but we don't do the construction, obviously, but we, obviously, this permit needs to be closed out, and there needs you know, we need to make sure that whatever we can do to...
Would this supersede it? Can this, if this is approved, does it supersede the old permit?
What do you mean?
It would supersede this, meaning the board approves it, and then you call for a final, and then based upon the zoning board's approval of the existing conditions. So
I don't think so, because the... Was the 2015 application for the addition? The addition's now.
Yeah, the addition's different.
Yeah, so I think no. I think that you have to satisfy that still.
So we're going for the variance for the porch now. That shouldn't be an issue. So
right.
They would need to close out the dormers.
Right. Close out that part of it.
Okay. Which we can certainly, you know, we can.
After construction's completed.
With the dormers on the second floor that are.
Oh.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, the stuff that's already done. Yeah. In order for them to get their permits for the addition.
Okay.
They have to satisfy that.
It sounds like a fun exercise.
That was the only. That was the only other work was the dormer work, and that you know there were framing checklists and everything involved.
Okay.
And there were inspections of those areas, and it was completed. The building department was complete. They just didn't know that they had to go back and file a survey to finalize everything.
They never got the.
It was that. That was the missing piece. That
right.
Final survey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would it fail based on?
That's why we're here.
No, so you need this in order to close
yeah.
that.
Yep.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do have to move the HVAC around the back with the new heights, with the back dormer coming out, do you have a place to put it if the ordinance won't allow it?
I think we can put it just up high underneath that egress window. So
it ends up going here. Three is right around five.
If it makes you go higher than that, you don't have a choice to put it in.
So that's where we would put it. That's kind of what we indicate on the site, right? It would be 2 feet in,
okay.
Kind of in this area here.
Okay, and that complies.
That complies.
Okay.
Yep. And we would keep the same footprint, so it wouldn't change the impervious coverage.
Don't want to create another hardship.
And you'll show that on revised plans?
Yes. Yeah, we'll show that revision on the plan. That's a variance that's been there for 50, know, 70 years, so taking one away.
No questions here.
Jamie?
Yeah, I was going to ask how that didn't get caught, but they never moved the zoning, so they don't want to come back.
Correct.
If they got caught, they would have followed the zoning.
We would have been here earlier if they had known that a final survey was required and submitted that, close out all the permits, we would have been here earlier because it would have been flagged.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
No, I have no questions. It was tough to see the house. I always look the day I get the agenda and then after I get the packaging ready, I mean, there nothing but fire hydrants and pipes in that street. That was tough to see. You've done a marvelous job, though, on renovating this house. One question.
Yeah.
Totally inappropriate. Can you spell your next door neighbor's name?
Nope. Stan and Jay. Nope. Can't do it.
It's 25 letters long with more Q's and J's and Z's. And it's pronounced Zukowski.
How is that pronounced?
Zukowski. Yeah, he either needs to come up in public
or
it's
totally inappropriate anyway. Would you like to summarize?
No, but the public just says.
Yeah, you need to open it to the public.
So. Oh, sorry. Public comment?
Let the record reflect there's nobody in the audience.
We'll close public comment.
I think to echo Mr. Riddell's comments, it's a beautiful renovation. Just driving by this week, they did a nice job. The expansion of that deck is really not discernible from the street. It's, I don't want to call it de minimis, it's probably a little bit more than de minimis, but you know, it's just not going to be, better way of saying it's not going to be impactful, it's not impacting people along Third Street. And I think overall, with the other addition that they're going to perform, it's going to make for an overall nice property in the zone and something that keeps the charm of Ocean City, not building something that's maybe a little bit out of character for that neighborhood, which still maintains a lot of the seashore houses. So I think Chris has presented enough testimony and evidence with the exhibits, and he has provided the board with ample proof under the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law to grant the application. Thank you. And reducing, getting rid of the variance for the HVAC unit.
Any more?
That's it.
Any comments? No questions? Questions, Ryan? Jamie? Not? Okay. I don't have any either. So, would you like to summarize?
We need a motion.
A motion.
I mean, Leo to form the motion.
Yeah. So, it's another C variance application. We've heard some testimony that this can be looked at under what we call the C1 hardship standard, something unique about the lot. And I'll go back to that. And then the C2 standard, which is the flexible standard. But the variants that are being requested are for a front yard setback to the front porch. The requirement's 18 feet. They're at 10.8 feet, which is 11 inches further to the front than what was previously approved in January 2016. And then the same thing with the side yard setbacks. Is that the same as what was approved before on the side yards?
It was. It's just
but
right.
Since it's coming out more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Extra 2 square feet.
Yeah, the total requirement is 20 feet. They're at 16.42 feet. But since they're at 11 inches forward, that's again a variance. The testimony was, and I'll note it as a condition when I get there, the side yard setbacks to the HVAC, that's going to go away. For the maximum building coverage, 25% is permitted. They're at 30.5%, which is about 1.5% over what was previously approved in January 2016. So that's a variance. Testimony was that the impervious coverage, which currently isn't compliant, will comply. They're going to add about 5% by doing those permeable pavers in the driveway. And then the other variance, there's the distance between the main building to the garage. That's at 4.81 feet. 8 feet required. That's not changing. It's just by virtue of them putting the addition in the rear triggers that variance. And again, they presented some testimony under both the C1 and the C2 standard. The C1 standard deals with if there's something unique about the shape of the lot that makes it difficult to comply with the ordinances. There's some testimony that it is an undersized lot. It's a 1,000 square foot lot, and the lot width is 50 feet or 60 feet is the requirement, and the lot area requirement is 5,000 square feet. So the testimony is they're somewhat constrained with the undersized nature of the lot. It was more, at least in my opinion, a C2 type of variance with the positives and the negatives. The positives being what purposes of zoning can we advance? General welfare, which is one purpose of zoning, because the impervious coverage is going down, conforming, light air and open space, with the porch that provides that. Aesthetic enhancement, even over what was approved in 2016, even though it wasn't built exactly as approved, the testimony was that this is still an improvement in terms of aesthetics. Negative criteria, which goes to the substantial detriment to the public good, or is there substantial impairment of the zone plan or zoning ordinance? They're going to eliminate this HVAC variance. They've added impervious coverage. Testimony was it's a relatively small home, and it's in line with the neighborhood. I don't know if I said too much or too little, but in terms of the conditions, the applicant will relocate the condensers to a conforming location. They'll show those on the revised plans that they submit. And then are we going to say, I know there was some discussion, you'll close out the existing open permits for the porch and the dormers before you obtain the new ones for the addition? Is that...
That's going to be at the discretion of zoning and construction. Okay. It's not going
to... We'll leave that to them. Then.
Yeah, that'll be...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then the standard conditions, one of which will be anything in Mr. Maffei's report, unless it was something that was already addressed. I think he noted
the taxes.
The taxes or something like
and the zoning chart.
Yeah, just the
zoning chart.
Yeah.
And we'll update the condenser location.
Yeah,
yes.
That's kind of the revised plans, yeah.
And if there's no other questions or comments, we need a motion, a second, and then our roll call vote.
Motion.
Second.
Loeb.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Loeb?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come on, a motion to adjourn.
Yes, okay. You're a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
Yo. Motion to adjourn?
Hey.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.